Roof Sports Network. The NFL show, as always, is brought to you by Manscaped. Check out manscaped.com, promo code TGT20 for 20% off your first purchase and free shipping. I'm your host for the NFL show, Mike Goodpasser. Right now, I'd like to welcome in my co-host, as always, Sam Teets. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great, Mike. How about you?
All right. I regret to inform everybody, Steve Risley will not be here today because he's actually looking at stats from the last game that the New Orleans Saints played, since he thought Drew Brees should be the NFL MVP. Steve will be back at some point, I guess. All right, Sam, it's time for your quarterback power rankings. So let's pull them up. You can find these on Rockfin now, so make sure you go to Rockfin, check out The Grueling Truth. You can get all of our free content just by using your email to sign up for free, or you can pay $9.99 to get all of the extra content that we'll be putting out. You also get all the other creators on there, which is a couple thousand creators, as you see, including Tom Lemming, if you like the high school football, college football draft stuff, or, well, I guess not the draft stuff, but signing players. All right, let's go ahead. Let's start off number one. Is there any doubt that Aaron Rodgers is number one right now?
There's no doubt in my mind, at the very least. I think Aaron Rodgers has to be number one. He's leading the NFL in passing touchdowns and passer rating. He's dominated games this year. I think there's maybe two or three games at most this season passing touchdowns. So he's been terrific throughout the season. The one bad game he had came against Tampa Bay. We already knew about that. But outside of that game, I mean, he threw two of his five picks in that game alone. You remove that game from the entire schedule, and suddenly this guy is still down to three interceptions on the year, 44 touchdowns. This guy has to be the MVP. He's completing over 70% of his pass attempts. He's never done that as a time starter. Me, Aaron Rodgers is the down MVP this year.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. And your number two guy would be my number two guy in that too, and that's Josh Allen. As you said, over the past 4 weeks, I think he's only thrown one interception, like 12 or 13 touchdown passes. Last night he was dominant. It was against the New England team that I don't even know if we consider him an NFL team right now, the way they looked. But Josh Allen is a guy who I look back, and in week five or six, you still had him ranked at 17, and we argued about it.
We did, but at week 17, I think, or whatever week that was, we had a stretch where he had, I think, week five, two interceptions, week six, an interception. He was having a tough stretch there. That was like the Tennessee, Kansas City, New York, New England.
I don't think game stretch. Second, I don't think you ever had him in the top 15 the first 6 weeks of the season.
And that's fair criticism, because I carried that over. I think I carried that over from last year, because I've been a big Josh Allen doubter the whole time. You know that.
Yes, you have. All right, number three, Tom Brady. Number four, Patrick Mahomes. A lot of people may raise their eyebrows at this. What do you think? Is this Brady easily over Mahomes right now? Because I'll tell you what, this is the best cast of offensive weapons Tom Brady's ever had.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's easy. But we're talking about quarterback power rankings. We're talking about right now, how the quarterback's playing right now. And right now, Tom Brady is playing much better than Patrick Mahomes. For the season as a whole, I think you can make the argument that Mahomes has had a better season because he's thrown fewer interceptions. But right now, Tom Brady is red hot, and Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, their offense is just trending in the wrong direction right now. I mean, they barely beat the Atlanta Falcons, who have a terrible defense. And if they had scored 40 points and won by 7, I would have said, all right, it's just being the Chiefs, 17 points. It's a little bit different there. So I think Brady deserves number three because he put four touchdowns up in one half against Detroit over Mahomes.
Yeah, 24 for 44, still 20 incompletions against the Atlanta Falcons. And I'll tell you what, and I've been saying this for a while, since near the start of the season, I thought the Bills would win the Super Bowl. The thing that stands out to me with the Bills and the Chiefs right now is the Bills look like they're really having fun playing football together. The Chiefs don't. The Chiefs look like it's a chore, and they're just trying to get through it right now.
And maybe that's a bit of, you know, they won last year and they're just expecting to be able to turn it on in the playoffs or turn it on towards the end of the season like they did last year. But if you're approaching it that way, you're going to have no momentum going to the playoffs. And that defense, they've had some on games, I'll admit that, but they haven't been consistently great. So if you're the Chiefs and you're kind of treating this as a chore just to get to the postseason, there's no guarantee you're going to be able to flick that switch and suddenly transform into what you were last year. You need to play seriously here. And they probably won't be playing their stars though next week because they have nothing to play for.
Yeah, there's no reason to play him, but I really, that's why it's hard to win back-to-back seasons, because everybody expected so much. I think a lot of people almost just thought that the Kansas City Chiefs would be an undefeated football team this year.
Yeah, and they've come close. I mean, they've only lost one game so far through 15 weeks. I just think that the pressure maybe
feel that way. You know what I mean? Last year at this point, they'd lost more games, but it felt like they were the best team. This year, it doesn't feel that way.
You know, like last year we just expected Chiefs, and we knew the Chiefs were going to be able to turn it on. But this year, they're winning basically every game the past 7 weeks by just one score. The last win by multiple scores was against the Jets, and of course, you're going to win that game by a lot.
Yeah, because it's the Jets. Unless you're the Browns or the Rams, who figure out a way to lose games to them when they need to win them. The other thing is this. When you match up to Bills, I think the Bills' offense is better, and I think the defense is better. Because when you look at the Bills, I think their offensive line is better. I think their running game is better because there's multiple guys there that can get it done. And what we're seeing is Le'Veon Bell and the gang can't get it done without Hilaire. Wide receiver-wise, I think the Chiefs are better depth-wise. But I think Stephon Diggs is the best wide receiver in football right now.
I don't know if I go into the best wide receiver, but he's got to be top three at this point, right? Top three for the season, especially to New England last night. And you got him, you got John Brown, who's missed a lot, but for the playoffs, that's great depth there, and Cole Beasley as well. You said depth-wise, the Chiefs. I really don't know about that. If the Bills get John Brown back, you've got three pretty good receivers who can easily get over 700 yards a year. I think guys, a healthy Bills to have better receiving options. They got Gabriel Davis, the rookie, too. They've got a lot of weapons there.
But they're not healthy yet. So we're assuming a lot if we assume they're going to be healthy. Yeah. Also, Dawson Knox, even though he dropped a pass last night, I think is a very good tight end. He's nowhere near Kelsey. And I think that Kelsey combined with Hill and the guys are why I say they're a little bit deeper, just because I think the tight end's extremely important. But the most important thing there is the running backs and the offensive line, and the people that, and I've said this for a while, and people tell me I'm crazy, but then again, they're probably right. I think Josh Allen's better than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you are a little crazy for saying that after just one really solid year from Josh Allen, but you know what? You've got plenty of time.
You were telling me this, that I was crazy about that 5 or 6 weeks ago, and now, 5 or 6 weeks later, you have, you know, Josh Allen rated ahead of Patrick Mahomes. I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, for the season. But if I do a top 100 players in the NFL right now, I'd absolutely have Patrick Mahomes ahead of Josh Allen.
I wouldn't, because Josh Allen is better. That will be found out when Josh Allen is holding a Super Bowl trophy, unless Tom Brady takes it from him. All right, number five, Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is as good as anybody. He hurt his hand and his arm late in Sunday's game. But Sunday's game was basically Deshaun Watson playing 1-on-11 against the Bengals. The Texas defense mailed it in. And this is a Bengals defense that had played well over the previous 4 weeks. And Deshaun Watson just kind of tore him apart.
Yeah, I mean, Watson's had the best year of his career so far. He's completing over 70% of his passes, 30 passing touchdowns, just 6 interceptions. So he's having a great year, a 112.1 passer rating. And he's done all this without a true number one receiver. I mean, his best receiver this year, Will Fuller, was suspended for the final 6 games of the season because of PEDs. So his best guy left is Brandon Cooks at this point, Kikuchi. I mean, he's playing with this. He's got 30 touchdowns. Could you imagine if he had DeAndre Hopkins this year and had like a legitimate running back? He would easily be the MVP debate.
Yeah, and they might be a playoff team. The thing is this. I mean, I know what the record sucks, but they probably wouldn't win a game without him. And I know you said that Aaron Rodgers, Handel's played better all year. But I think when you look at what Deshaun Watson has around him and no defense and no coaching, the fact that this man has thrown 30 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions may be the best stat of any of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know you brought it up a couple times. Do you think Deshaun Watson is, what did you say, a top three or top two? I forget what it was, but you said Deshaun Watson, in your eyes, is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
I would say this. If you take all quarterbacks under 26, 27 years old, and you gave me one to start a team, I would take Deshaun Watson. Now, I may take Joe Burrow, but I haven't seen as much from Burrow. But I would take Deshaun Watson. I would take him over Allen and Mahomes. I think he is a better quarterback. Technically, he is superior to them. He reads a defense better to them. He's tough as hell, and he's a winner. It's a damn shame Bill O'Brien took away that chance to win from him this year. But if you look at Houston, I mean, they played the Colts twice where the game went down to the final play. It's not like they get blown out. And the reason they're in these games are kind of like the same reason that the Cincinnati Bengals, until Burrow got hurt, were in every game, because the quarterback's so damn good that he's still going to be able to score 24 to 30 points and keep you in the game.
Yeah, and hopefully Houston does something to fix that offensive line, give Deshaun Watson some weapons here. Otherwise, I mean, they're not going to go anywhere in the next 3 or 4 years.
All right, number six, Russell Wilson. I still think this. I know Risley blew me off yesterday. I don't know. I don't think you really believe it. But I'm telling you, the Seattle defense is much better. The running game's much better. Russell Wilson doesn't have to throw the ball as much now, which is going to make Russell Wilson even more dangerous. I mean, right now, I would put Tampa Bay and Seattle as my two best teams in the NFC.
You know, I sat down the other day because I think I was a little bit harsh on you than maybe I should have been when you said the Seattle defense is playing. I mean, you're right. They haven't given up over 21 points in a game in the past 6 weeks. So their defense is playing much better than what I perceived them to be playing. You have a pass now with Dunlap and Jamal Adams playing better. I think the linebackers and KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, are finally clicking in. Jordan Brooks, their rookie linebacker, still work. So, yeah, you're right here. I'm going to agree with you now. Seattle is playing some of the best football in the NFC, and outside of Tampa Bay and maybe Green Bay, they're probably the best team out there.
All right, number seven, Ryan Tannehill had a rough night in Green Bay. Number eight, Kirk Cousins. Number nine, Lamar Jackson, which is absolutely stupid. Why would Lamar Jackson be there? Lamar Jackson says, I have it. That's why it shocked me. I didn't think that you would be dumb enough to have him at number nine. I mean, he played well against Jacksonville, and he played well against the Giants. And, I mean, he still didn't throw for 200 yards in this game. I mean, I don't know how quarterback-wise. Now, if we're ranking rushing quarterbacks, yeah, he's number one or he's number two. But not as a quarterback. I mean, if you watch the games, it's not like he's throwing bullets that are on target. I mean, his receivers have to make great catches on most of them. And I will say this the same way I did last year at this time. Watch what happens when he plays in the playoffs.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but if you scroll down and look at the other quarterbacks, I'm like, tell me one that played better or tell me one that didn't play well against a bad team.
Well, I'll tell you what, Philip Rivers.
No one that matters below seven.
Philip Rivers has had a much better season. Baker Mayfield has had a much better season. And you can't put this on Baker Mayfield. He was missing four of his top five wide receivers.
Oh, you know, boo-hoo. I mean, Carson Wentz played that way the entire year last season with no wide receivers, and he made the playoffs with the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to hear Jack from Baker Mayfield.
Oh, you know what, though? The difference is this. Carson Wentz's Philadelphia Eagles defense was good last year. The Cleveland Browns defense is not good. Baker Mayfield's team has the same record as Lamar Jackson's team, and Baker Mayfield throws the ball better. I don't think Matt Ryan should be ahead of all these guys. Matt Ryan should sit at number nine. Matt Ryan has no chance, but he keeps his team in games. And, you know, he damn near beat Kansas City in Kansas City. I don't know why everybody wants to downplay everything Matt Ryan does all the time. I could see Matt Ryan at 8 or 9 on this list.
It's hard for Matt Ryan because he does have 11 interceptions this year. And he's had games where he just had not played well. He got crushed by New Orleans with 2 interceptions that game. 3 picks against the Chargers. That was his fault. They lost that game.
Well, that was his fault. Okay.
So he's had a couple of losses that are directly on Matt Ryan, although he's not working.
You know what? The defense in Atlanta is absolutely atrocious. The coaching is absolutely atrocious. None of this is Matt Ryan's fault. I mean, this is the problem. You throw 11 interceptions when you normally only throw 4 or 5, when you are forced to try to score every time you get the ball, which is what his mentality has to be with that defense. And I'll tell you, Ben Roethlisberger should be ahead of Lamar Jackson. He's had a much better season. He had 4 bad games. Lamar's had more than that. And hell, Ben threw for 342. It takes Lamar 2 games to throw for that. And he's going to win the division over Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield. So to have Big Ben below them is crazy, because I'll tell you what, still in a 1-game situation, I'll take Big Ben over both of them.
Well, in a 1-game situation, I'd take Big Ben over probably half the guys that had ranked ahead of him. But also, they only had one really good half that game. Watch the first half. It was the same thing we've seen from the past 3 weeks. He only turned it on the second half. One good half football. I'm not sold he's all the way back yet.
And if we keep going here, Derek Carr and Justin Herbert have had better seasons than Lamar Jackson. How could Derek Carr not have had a better season? Yeah, but you're not just giving a power ranking off what
we just said. I said no. This was a ranking on how good quarterbacks are doing right now.
Yeah, so right now, Big Ben's 34 for 49, 342 yards and three touchdowns, coming down from 24 to 7 against the Indianapolis Colts, is not as good as Phillip Rivers sucking in the entire second half and losing a game to Big Ben, or it's not better than Lamar Jackson throwing for 180 yards against the Giants. So don't give me that. This is a power ranking for the entire season. This weighted more towards what you've done in the last few weeks, I would think.
Yeah, in the last four and done, besides lead his team to, I think, was three losses in a row where he was barely able to throw the ball beyond 10 yards.
Well, that's Lamar in most games. He probably averages 170 passing yards a game. He's not a quarterback. He ought to be ranked with the running backs. I'd put him top 10, none. Andy Dalton at 14, which Andy Dalton's Andy Dalton. He's a good quarterback. And that's probably between 10 and 15 is where he usually goes. Justin Herbert's had a better season than your boy Lamar.
Did you say Kyler? I couldn't hear. Did you say Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson? Which one were you picking on there?
Justin Herbert. Kyler Murray has too, and I'm not a big fan of Kyler Murray's.
Yeah, I know you're not a big fan of Kyler Murray. I think Murray, though, yeah, like this was the inconsistent. I think I said this going into the game. Oh, Cardinals win still. I think I said this last week that Kyler Murray, he has these games where he's got to win. And he just, for a reason, falls apart. His three worst games this year are against teams with losing records. The Cardinals have lost every one of those games. If they just win one or two of those, they're in the playoffs. So Kyler Murray, yeah, I guess, is the biggest flaw of them in that offense.
Yeah, but you know what? Lamar Jackson falls apart in every big game, too. The difference is this. Lamar Jackson gets to the playoffs because their defense and their coaching is really good. In Arizona, the defense is crap and the coaching is crap.
Yeah, you can't really compare Cliff Kingsbury to John Harbaugh.
No. And 18, Sam Darnold. I think he's better than that, but you can't rank him better than that because he's a Jet. Yeah. 19.
I wanted to rank him higher. I really did. I really wanted to put Darnold higher, but I just couldn't justify it.
Now, how can you have Drew Brees at 19 when Steve Risley thinks he muddied the waters and could be the MVP after his two-interception performance?
I was laughing about that one because I knew I had Drew Brees in the lower teens, so I was like, I don't know about the MVP stuff, Risley. Maybe slow down with that.
And then Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, he's at number 20. If you didn't listen to yesterday's show, yeah, I do, because you could hear Steve Risley talk about Trubisky 500 times. And you also, you know, you can sleep in your own bed and drive your own car when you're a home team. But number 20, Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, I don't think he could be much higher right now. But I could also say this. If you go right now, he's playing better than Drew Brees, Kyler Murray, Sam Darnold, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, Andy Dalton. I think Mitchell Trubisky,
from what I've seen,
is playing really well.
Yeah, he is. From what I've seen, they're making it so he's throwing the ball quicker. He's taking less time in the pocket. And the receivers are going, like, they're running shorter routes. And it's kind of optimizing the offense right now for Chicago. And it's working out well. I mean, they're probably going to make the playoffs. And I had to bet between them and Arizona actually being able to make the playoffs and make some noise in there. I would rather take Chicago than the Cardinals at this point.
Yeah, because the Cardinals lose, the Bears are in too. And I think that's probably the most likely scenario to put the Bears in.
Yeah, I don't think either one is going to win this weekend. But really, I don't have any faith in Arizona at this point to win the big games.
No, I don't have any faith in Chicago too either, though. So, even though, I mean, because Chicago, who have they beaten? Not like they played a tough schedule to get to here. But I can tell you this, Matt Nagy is a good football coach. They should keep him. You know, the GM's the guy that needs to go in Chicago. 21, Teddy Bridgewater. 22, Tua. What's your take on Tua and the quarterback controversy of him and Fitzpatrick?
So I think I said, and we do know that Brian Flores has come out and said that Tua is going to be the starter going forward. And I know I said when they switched him out in Denver for Fitzpatrick, I wasn't really a fan. I'm still not a huge fan of it because I think you need to get Tua that experience in that situation, because otherwise, if he never has that experience in the NFL of playing down, trying to lead in a game-winning drive or trying to run a five-minute drill at the end of a game, where is he going to get that experience if you don't let him play that out? At the same time, if they're focused on just making the playoff push here, putting Fitzpatrick in was probably the right move, and as long as both quarterbacks and the coaches clearly convey what's expected of the quarterbacks, knowing that Tua is the future and Tua is the starter, and that maybe if things go really bad, Fitzpatrick will come in for the final 10 minutes of a game. As long as everyone knows that, accepts that, and doesn't get in their feelings, doesn't get their feelings hurt, I'm fine with it. I think Brian Flores will be too.
Well, how about this? I think when you look at Tua, this is similar to like the end of Bob Greasy's career and the start of David Woodley's in Miami, where they had a guy by the name of Don Strock. And if David Woodley wasn't getting it done, Don Strock's going to come in the game. If Greasy wasn't getting it done in 78 or 79, Don Strock would come in the game. Don Strock was a guy who played till he was like 50 years old, it seemed like, and actually came in for Bernie Kosar when Kosar got hurt at the end of the season in Cleveland in 1988 and actually won a game against the Houston Oilers, played the next week, lost a close game to the Houston Oilers in a rematch in the playoffs. I think this can work. I think my problem is this. When I watch this, the play calling is completely different for Tua. I think that, yeah, as you said in your article, the conservative play calling is killing him. I think that's the issue here. I think they need to let Tua play the game. I think Tua is better than Fitzpatrick because I think he's going to be more consistent than Fitzpatrick. But, hey, Fitzpatrick could go down as one of the best, if not the best, backup quarterbacks that ever lived the way this is going if they keep using him that way, because he is the perfect guy to bring in because he going to get hot or he's going to be cold. And if he gets hot, he's going to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, he's a spark play. He doesn't need any time to warm up. You just throw him in there, and he's good to go most of the time. And for Tua, I mean, I agree. He went 17 for 22. So that's pretty good. That's usually a very good stat line. But he only threw for 94 yards, which tells me that the routes they're having him run, the play calling, it's all short stuff. It's all kind of like hand kid gloves. They really need to take those off and let him play football here because they have the weapons to be a very good offense. I just think you need to give him that opportunity to prove himself, that he's a top 15 quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yeah, 23, you got Fitzpatrick. You should just put him at 22 together. 24, Jared Goff. I don't know how you can rank him that high. Number 25, Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen's an interesting guy to me because the Cincinnati Bengals should probably make sure they sign Brandon Allen to be the backup quarterback because from what I've watched, the three or four games he's played, he's a pretty damn good quarterback. And the difference between Brandon Allen and most backup quarterbacks is this. When I watch Brandon Allen, his facial expressions and the way he plays the game, he looks like he thinks he should be the starter over Joe Burrow. And I think that's extremely important. It's the same thing with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He looks like he should be the starter. When you watch Ryan Finley play on Monday night, Ryan Finley just looked like he hoped he doesn't screw it up completely so he loses his job.
Yeah, and Brandon Allen had, I think, a short stint with Denver last year where he was playing a little bit. This guy has experience. He came to the NFL back in 2016. And I know Finley, like you said, Finley's a good guy, but really, if you're looking for a backup quarterback in Cincinnati, it's got to be Brandon Allen, especially after what he's done this year.
Yeah, because Finley just doesn't have the arm strength to be an NFL quarterback. He just doesn't. I mean, if you watched him underthrow against the Steelers, hell, if Brandon Allen plays in that game, the Bengals probably have two or three more touchdowns. Brandon Allen has an arm. He's a good quarterback. He was in a bad situation in Denver last year. Hell, he's in a bad situation this year. But he played really well there. And for the people that said this should save Zach Taylor's job, I think that should only come in. I don't think Zach Taylor's going anywhere. He should because he sucks. But I think we'll find out a lot about Zach Taylor and the job he's done with this team when they play Baltimore this weekend because Baltimore has to win to make the playoffs. So if Zach Taylor has turned this team around, the Bengals should be in this game, if not win this game, if Zach Taylor deserves to keep his job. If they come out and it's 27-0 at the end of the game, Zach Taylor's ass needs to go back to where he came from.
Yeah, this is the week, make or break week for Zach Taylor. And if the ownership has any idea what they're doing, which they probably don't, I would still get rid of Zach Taylor this year, even if they beat Baltimore.
Yeah, a win over Baltimore, though, would make it more reasonable that you bring him back, especially a Baltimore team that needs to win. 26, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts did not play well against the Dallas Cowboys. Jalen Hurts is probably not ready to do this yet. And I think Jalen Hurts fits in Philly, but Carson Wentz is better. And I can tell you this. I think this is a blip on the radar for Carson Wentz. And two or three years from now, when we do these rankings, Carson Wentz will be in the top half of them.
Yeah, I expect Carson Wentz to be a star next year. I don't know where it's going to be. I would assume it's still Philadelphia because to trade Carson Wentz after, what, four games of Jalen Hurts would be absolutely ludicrous. I don't think you could do that, especially when Hurts had a bad game against the Dallas defense that isn't that good. So I expect Carson Wentz to be around Philadelphia next year and start most of the season.
Well, really, it's just Dallas has got healthy. I know they gave up 33 against the 49ers 2 weeks ago, but their defense has been better. You know, they had the game where they only gave up 7 to the Bengals. Of course, the Bengals fumbled the ball every time they touched it in the first quarter, which helped. But C.J. Beathard at 27, I cannot imagine saying his name, ranking 32 NFL quarterbacks. And the thing that's really sad is Daniel Jones is ranked below him. And, I mean, the Giants were set up. They had a shot to make the playoffs. They still do. The thing that will keep them from it is a bad draft choice when they pick Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I think that year they were just desperate to take a quarterback, desperate to get that air to Eli Manning. And you look at the draft, I mean, after Murray, Haskins, Jones, and Drew Locke. So it's not like you were going to hit a home run with the quarterback selection anyways. You were basically doing from the start. If you went to the NFL draft, think you needed a quarterback.
If they would have just listened to our NFL show before the draft, I don't think I was doing it with you at the point, but I told everybody none of those guys were first-round quarterbacks, but nobody ever wants to listen. All right, it's just like I get the Sheridan report texting me last night how Trevor Lawrence is going to be a complete flop in the NFL, which is absolutely insane also. Number 29, Drew Locke. He sucks. He's streaky. Sometimes he looks all right. 30, Cam Newton, 5 for 10, 34 yards, 1 rushing touchdown. Those are actually the kind of numbers if he had an 8-year-old son, his son would put up in a third-grade peewee football game. 31, Chase Daniels. I actually think Chase Daniels is a pretty good backup quarterback, but he's in Detroit, so you got no chance there. Mike Glennon, well, he sucks. Dwayne Haskins is gone forever from the Washington Redskins. I'd like to know why they ever drafted him. I think they've already fired the guy that did draft him, but does Dwayne Haskins have any shot to ever amount to anything in the NFL?
I don't think so. If you're talking about amounting to anything like being a star, probably not. Could he stick around for any 3 or 4 more years to be a backup somewhere else? Sure. Time. Guys are high round picks. Look at Paxton Lynch was on the roster earlier this year or something like that. It happens. Guys who should be in the NFL will stick around. But Haskins has shown nothing to me that he'll ever be a starter in the league.
All right. Dwayne Haskins will never start. I don't know that he'll ever get a backup. To me, Dwayne Haskins seems an awful lot like Jamarcus Russell. He's a guy that came into the league, thought everything should be handed to him. And when it wasn't, he got shit canned, and that was it. Because really, he's Jamarcus Russell. And it wasn't that Jamarcus Russell couldn't play in the NFL. It's not that Dwayne Haskins couldn't. I think the point is this. They treat it like it's still college, and they don't take it seriously.
Well, yeah, you can see, I mean, Haskins goes out and he's partying after a loss to Seattle, trying to figure out what went wrong. Like, yeah, like 3 turnovers that game. So why are you out partying after you just got your ass handed to you? I mean, it's just the situation where there's no maturity there. And you can't expect that to develop. You're paying this guy millions of dollars to be the face of your franchise. I didn't even realize he was still a captain on the team until this past weekend, but apparently he was. So you just can't put any faith in that guy. You just can't.
Dwayne Haskins was a captain?
Yeah, he was the captain on the team, I guess because he was a star going into the year, made him a captain, hoping that would maybe make him more responsible, and it never worked out.
All right, other NFL news. On Sunday, the Cleveland Browns need to win to make the playoffs. Big Ben is going to sit on Sunday, which I think makes complete sense. I think we discussed it a little bit yesterday. It's the best way for them to go. And Mason Rudolph will instead get the start in Cleveland. And, you know, he needs to rest a little bit, Big Ben, so he can get his strength up, just in case, you know, they got to go to Kansas City for that first playoff game, which should be fun for him. Now, it looks like they're going to rest a couple of other players. And I'd say this is the perfect situation for the Browns to be the Browns and still miss the playoffs. What do you think, Sam?
Oh, I would love it. Are you kidding me? If Mason Rudolph goes out and beats Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns, that would be the best possible outcome for this game. Just because it's Cleveland thing to do. I mean, they lost to the Jets last week. If they can lose to Pittsburgh's backups this week, could be great. I partially want Pittsburgh to start their players just to get some momentum going to the playoffs, but at the same time, I mean, we lost Bud Dupree in a Ravens game against third stringers. We've already lost Devin Bush for the year. You can't risk losing an all-pro caliber guy like a TJ Watt or Cameron Hayward or Ben Roethlisberger against Cleveland in Week 17 when you have nothing to play for.
All right, other news with quarterbacks that are in a meaningful game. L.A. Rams quarterback Jared Goff underwent surgery Monday to stabilize a broken right thumb and will be sidelined for a Week 17 matchup against the Arizona Cardinals, according to Coach Sean McVay. A playoff berth at stake here. And backup quarterback John Wolford, who has never appeared in an NFL game since he went undrafted out of Wake Forest in 2018, will be the starting quarterback. That gives Kyler Murray a better shot to make the playoffs now.
And you think that's funny, but Kyler Murray's dealing with an injury himself. We don't know if Kyler Murray's going to play. I assume he would at this point, but Chris, I'm going to try to read this last one. Chris Streveler is the backup quarterback for Arizona. So we could see a Chris Streveler game versus, was it John Wolford? That could be the core matchup between this Arizona-San Angeles Rams game here in Week 17.
So are you saying that's a bad matchup?
I'm saying, you know, it's funny because it's playoff implications. It's all the game, but it might not be the best football all year.
Well, Chris Streveler played at Marion Christian in, Marion Central Catholic, and he went to the University of Minnesota before he had to transfer to South Dakota. He played, I believe, a year or two with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers also in the CFL.
Oh, look at that. Has he ever played in an NFL game?
But he's played in a CFL game.
That's something, but.
Well, it is.
How did he do in the CFL?
I mean, did good enough. He ended up in the NFL.
I guess. Well, but I can also tell
you
this.
I can tell you this. Hey, I can tell you this. He played for, I believe it was Winnipeg, in the West semifinals against the Calgary Stampeders. And Streveler set a CFL playoff record, I believe, where he took 23 snaps at quarterback without attempting a pass.
Is that a good or bad thing?
That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. In the CFL championship, the 107th Grey Cup that year in Calgary, he did throw a touchdown pass to Andrew Harris. He ran for 30 yards, and he caught a pass from Darvin Adams on a reverse. And he has a Grey Cup ring.
Well, he's won then. But really, this game's going to come down to the best defense, though.
But you don't get the point of this. The point of this is this. Chris Streveler has played on a big stage. I mean, the Grey Cup is a huge deal in Canada. There's 60,000 sold-out screaming people. It's snowing. And he threw a touchdown pass. That is a lot more than John Wolford has ever done. And it could be a significant difference here. I mean, Chris Streveler really got playing time for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And having playing time for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers is probably much better than what John Wolford had playing at Wake Forest.
So there's a quarterback difference. And you got some good weapons there. And guys like DeAndre Hopkins who will make you look good. You've got Larry Fitzgerald for whatever that's worth. You got Christian Kirk. So there are weapons there to help Streveler out as well. I still think it comes down to the defenses in this game, though.
I know. Right? I'm telling you, Chris Streveler is the difference. John Wolford is not an NFL quarterback. Chris Streveler will be at least a decent backup quarterback. I will say this. The difference in this game is Chris Streveler. And if Kyler Murray does not play, they're still going to win because Streveler is better than Wolford. He is an experienced quarterback who's played in big situations. Wolford never has. This is a game where Wolford's first start is going to be trying to get a playoff berth in the NFL. You know, the thing is this. Trying to get a berth in the playoffs in the NFL as a starter, as crazy as this sounds, is not a big deal as throwing passes in a Grey Cup.
I mean, I believe it's a championship game, right? There's a difference there. Regular season versus championship.
Yeah, and the thing is this. Like I said, the Grey Cup is huge in Canada. There's a ton of pressure there. I mean, I think Winnipeg, I can't remember if they played Saskatchewan or Calgary in that game, but it was a huge game. The place was packed. You know, they played it in Calgary in front of 60,000 people. So I think this gives, if neither starting quarterback plays, I think the Cardinals have a significant advantage here.
All right. I would still lean to the Rams and probably be wrong just because of the defense, but you're pounding the table hard here for Strivelers.
Well, this is the Rams thing. The Cardinals' defense isn't very good, but John Wolford is not an NFL quarterback. I mean, if he was, he'd at least taken a snap at some point, wouldn't you think? I mean, Streveler got his job in the NFL. Streveler didn't get his job because of what he did in college. He got it from what he did on a professional level, on the biggest stage there is outside of the NFL. You know, the CFL is a million times bigger than what the XFL was. And Streveler played, and he played a significant part in the Blue Bombers winning the Grey Cup. So I just think that don't undersell it because I think the kid's a good football player. I don't think he's going to come out and do that Kendall Hinton thing from Denver where he's 1-for-9. And he's still got DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, he's bound to get at least 100 yards if you have DeAndre Hopkins there on the field.
Stravler will throw for 250 in this game against the Rams defense.
All right, Mike, I'm going to hold you to that.
If he gets to play, he will throw the ball better than Kyler Murray will. He's a better passer than Kyler Murray is.
All right, Mike.
I like Chris Stravler. I mean, I've done a CFL show until this year because there was no
CFL. No, it's very apparent. I know that.
I've seen him play. He's a good quarterback. I can tell you this right now. There's four quarterbacks in the CFL that if they started on NFL teams, would all four be successful, and you would rank all four in the top 16 on your power rankings every week.
You want to just shout out the names?
Trevor Harris. This dude in Edmonton. It's been like a year and a half since I've done this. Mike Riley out of Edmonton. Bo Levi Mitchell out of Calgary, or he played for Calgary a year and a half ago. Who knows what team they're going to be on now? All their contracts are up because they usually only sign 2-year contracts. But those three guys off the top of my head, I think a guy like Zach Kolaris could be a good option for an NFL team that's rolling with, say, Mitch Trubisky.
Or Drew Locke.
Jared Goff or Drew Locke. I mean, really, there's four guys. Probably most of the guys starting, Vernon Adams of Montreal, really good quarterback. Similar to Kyler Murray, only bigger. But the thing is this, if you're playing in the CFL and you're the starter and you're making $1.5 million, is that better than being the backup when you go to an NFL team, possibly, if they don't give you a shot because they drafted a Daniel Jones? Is it better to be a backup making $500,000, or is it better to be a starter and a big dog in a big city making $1.5 million?
Starter.
Yeah. I mean, who the hell cares? $1 million difference, I don't give a shit if it's the NFL or the CFL. But
yeah, exactly. Go for the contract.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to discuss before we wrap it up, Sam?
No, I think we covered all the NFL.
All right. We will be back tomorrow with the power rankings for the teams.
Yep. They'll be ready to go. I'll send you them tomorrow.
All right, guys. Make sure you check us out on Rockfin, rockfin.com. Go to The Grueling Truth. You can sign up for free and get all the free content for free. I like the word free. That's why I say it a lot. But make sure you sign up at Rockfin. And if you subscribe, you will get stuff that you can only see by subscribing, because we'll start doing some special shows there for Rockfin. Website, we should have a large announcement in the next couple of days, hopefully, Sam, which will be a good announcement. But make sure you check out Manscaped at manscaped.com, promo code TGT20, 20% off your first purchase and free shipping. So until tomorrow at 1 o'clock, he's Sam Teets. I'm my good pastor. You've been listening and watching The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.